Hello and welcome, Hacker Public Radio audience. My name is Mr. X. This is, I think, my fourth show. It has been a while, I think almost a year, in fact, probably over a year. I do intend to do one a year, or at least one a year. This is really a unique service that Hacker Public Radio provides. You know, they try to make it as easy as possible for anyone to contribute. If I can contribute, I'm sure you can too. Why not give it a go if you've got some sort of burning hobby or passion that you think you'd like to share with the rest of us? Just record something. It's really quite simple. Well, now today's podcast is a little bit different. It's I'm not sure exactly how well it fits into the hacker theme as such, but it's something that hopefully you'll find interesting. It's it concerns a family member my grandfather, and he, like many of you, had served during the Second World War, and I'm sure you've all had interesting stories relating to that. But well, when my grandfather served in the Second World War, I know at one point he was doing something out in Africa. Now, I don't know what he was actually doing, but later on he came back to Britain, and there he worked for the Bomb Disposal Squad. Now, I don't know very much about the history of Bomb Disposal Team or what they actually did, really. I haven't really looked at anything online to find any more background information, but it's just kind of stories and things that he told me when I was a young boy. He wasn't the kind of man that would actually talk very much about the war. In fact, I don't think he would talk about it at all unless I first prompted him. He was quite a quiet man, really, but I remember him telling me things such that all over the country, Scotland is where I come from, obviously even more so down in England, there was bombs dropped all over the place, and he said that the wardens kept look over the skies at night, had to record where these bombs dropped. And he said that on a lot of occasions these bombs landed too deep, too difficult to recover. I recall one day when we were when he was driving in the car, and we were passing a forest, and he mentioned that a bomb had dropped into the forest, and it had carved a diagonal line through the canopy of the trees down into the ground. It was almost like a kind of ramp structure, and then was, I don't know how many feet down into the actual soil it was, but they concluded it was too difficult to remove, and they just recorded that it was there and just left it. But up and down the country, these devices are still lying underground, undisturbed. It's hard to imagine how exciting and possibly terrifying sort of life it must have been, providing this sort of service, trying to defuse bombs. I remember him telling me a story in particular where a bomb had dropped into the middle of a field and was kind of propped up against a tree. And his sergeant had said to him, you know, well, come on, son, let's go and have a look at take a look at this bomb and see how we're going to tackle it. And so, if you can imagine, there was a tree in the middle of this large field, and there was a fence running all the way around the perimeter of the field. So they stepped over this fence and walked towards the bomb. Now, can you imagine doing that? You know, a live device that could go off at any moment. They had to take that long walk to the active bomb. It must have been terrifying. Anyway, they got to the bomb, and his sergeant said to him, "Ah, well, you know, son, I can see this is a new one, and you kind of haven't seen one like this before. I guess you better go back just in case, you know." He said, "Right, old sergeant," and he turned round and walked towards the perimeter of the field, and he got to the field and was just about to step over when there was a loud blast, and he got blown over the fence, in fact. Obviously, that was the end of his commanding officer, but it's hard to imagine what that must have been like. Living in modern times and the peace that that the vast majority of rich nations and such like do, you know, that there's the world is relatively in peace. Let's hope it continues. But I remember that there was a cylindrical object that took my interest, that used to sit on the edge of his desk, and it was oh, I don't know, several inches long and, oh, I don't know, 3 or 4 inches in diameter, sort of thing. And it had like a threaded end to it and a kind of mushroom top, and on the top of that was two studs. And I remember asking, well, what is that, to Grandad? And he said, oh, well, that was a fuse from a 10,000 kilogram bomb was dropped in Aberdeen. And of course that obviously sparked my imagination. And I can't remember if he told me any more about that particular story, but how he came to have the fuse, or whether he was at the site when he actually, if he removed it or what, I don't know. But he kind of told me that basically that the fuse is screwed into the side of the bomb, and it sits in the aircraft. First of all, the fuse is contains Pickering rings, I believe, and these Pickering rings, I guess, are explosive. And in fact, the charge, he told me, was roughly equivalent to a small hand grenade. And when it goes off, it sets off a chain reaction and detonates the bomb. So this thing's screwed into the side of the bomb, and it sits inside the aircraft. And there's the two contacts in the top, make contact inside the aircraft and charge the fuse. And I don't know if it's like a capacitor or something in there that discharges over time as the bomb's falling through the air. And I think something like that. And as it reaches, when it, you know, it's a kind of time constant, and after so much time, it detonates. You know, there's also a tremolo switch, so that when it can also detect, obviously, it could also detect when it hits the ground and detonate then. But of course, sometimes these things didn't go off, and that was when the bomb disposal team would go in and try and defuse the bomb. I do remember watching the odd episode of UXB, Unexploded Bomb, with my grandfather, and saying to him, you know, well, is that, you know, really what they do? Is it quite accurate? And he said, oh yes, the UXB is fairly accurate. He said the only thing that isn't accurate was that they tended to show groups of people around the bomb. He said they would never do that. A maximum of two would go to the bomb. You know, there'd always be further back. So anyway, this fuse, kind of fascinated me, and I said, well, you know, Grandad, can I take it? No, he said, sorry, he said, let me step back. What he said they did was, once they get the fuse out, and I can't remember the details of how they removed the fuse exactly, but they pumped it full of tar material, which neutralized the fuse and made it safe. So, you know, I said to my grandfather, ah, that's amazing, grandfather. Could I take it to school and tell them about it? He said, yes, of course. So I put this in my school bag, or whatever it was, and took it to school, and, you know, told them all at school, oh, this is a fuse from a 10,000 kilogram bomb that was dropped in Aberdeen. And of course, they were all amazed. I couldn't tell them much more than that. You know, the story lasted for about 10 seconds or something, but I stood up and told them at the front of the class when I was a young boy. Obviously, eventually my grandfather died, and he died quite some time ago, in fact, many years ago. And it ended up, I think, in my brother's room. I'm not quite sure how he ended up with this item, but at this point I wasn't around, and I've been told that they were watching television, and it was one of these kind of 999 programs where something happens to somebody, and I think they on this show they found a Second World War fuse somewhere or other. I think it might have been on a railway track or something like that, and I think it exploded, and a young chap got hurt, you know. And the story goes, my mother said, "Well, that looks like that fuse thing that you have upstairs, is it?" You know, and, "Oh, I think it is," you know. And what they were saying was that these fuses, over time, the tar material which is pumped in to neutralize it breaks down, and the fuse can become active again, unknown to my grandfather. I guess it would be told, you know, at bomb disposal school, whatever that involved, that, you know, they pump it full of this stuff in it, and it makes it safe. But they wouldn't expect it to be, you know, sitting in someone's house for 40, 50 years or whatever. And so my mother and my brother carefully picked the fuse up, kind of in an alarm fashion, and my brother held it by his feet and while sitting in the car as a, in the passenger, and drove carefully to the local police station, whereupon they, when they came in, they told the local WPC that this is a fuse from a 10,000 kilogram bomb dropped in Aberdeen, and could you deal with it, please? Obviously, the police officer was rather alarmed at this, and kind of backed away from the counter. It's kind of understandable. I believe it was safely detonated, and that was that. Always regretted the fact I never saw it again, because I was quite attached to the thing, and me and my brother would throw it back and forth between each other, believing it was completely safe. But I guess we were really lucky. It could have gone disastrously wrong at any time. It's hard to imagine living in these sort of times. It must have been terribly exciting and terrifying at the same time. All around the world, I get the feeling things are becoming more unstable. There's all sorts of things conspiring to make the whole world less stable. In no particular order, there's things such as, you know, oil, water, food, carrying capacity, climate change, these sort of things. Can't imagine what it must have been like living in these terrible times. I do hope that doesn't come again. Anyway, I hope you found this podcast interesting, and if you have any comments, I'll try and put together some show notes and whatnot, but if you have any comments, feel free to drop them to me. And I do plan to try and do another podcast before the end of the year, but we'll see how it goes. I can be contacted at mrx@hpr@googlemail.com. That's mrxathpr, the at symbol, googlemail.com. Thank you very much, and goodbye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.